Blog Talk Radio.
Marcus Game. As I see it, common sense in a world of insanity.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it would appear as though social media has now become the best friend of the liberal left. And they're carrying a lot of water for them, aren't they? And in the first half of this show, we're going to delve a little bit into how social media platforms have actually become one of the most powerful weapons the left has, and how they can suppress certain information, as well as disseminate certain information that they want you to know, and how they can actually potentially hold back the vote in certain instances. Should be a fascinating show. Let me start with this. Many, many people have written to me over the course of, a few months, letting me know that the social media platform they're on, whether that happens to be Twitter, Facebook, even to a certain extent when they try to use YouTube, has actually suppressed some of their, or flat out banned, some of their comments. And it's getting to the point now where it is fairly obvious that they aren't doing this equally to the other side. In other words, if you're on the left, you are free to disseminate whatever information you want. And you likely will not go challenged at all. You'll not get challenged. You'll not get suspended. You'll not get your account flagged, you'll not get put in Facebook jail or whatever they call it. Likely you will be told everything's fine. But if that same exact thing is done and you happen to be on the right side, you happen to be on the conservative side, you will indeed have your account flagged. You will indeed be suspended for a certain amount of days. You will indeed feel their wrath. And I've had examples time and time again. And if you have an example, by the way, you can actually call us up at 319-527-4211, and you can tell us your story. Now, I have a guest scheduled who is exactly going to tell me this story. I don't know. He has not called in quite yet. But in the meantime, I can tell you this. Each story involves basically the same format. And that same format is they have either been responding to or posting something that the left does not like. In other words, it's free to say Donald Trump is a Nazi. If you say Donald Trump is a Nazi, you will not get banned. You will not get suspended. You will not have your account flagged. And the reason they will give you for that is they will say, well, these are politicians, and everyone has the right to their opinion, and as long as you aren't credibly saying something that could potentially mislead the public or slander that individual, it's just open opinion. In other words, I can say someone is an idiot, and that will go unchecked. However, less offensive speech will get you banned if you say it about Joe Biden I know someone recently who was flagged and given a suspension because they made a comment. And the comment was basically that he considers the new administration, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, the Harris-Biden administration, as Joe calls it, he considers it, or he calls it Joe and the Ho. It's a joke. For that joke, he was given a 30-day suspension. 30 days. Now, this is about, again, this is about politicians. No 30-day suspension for calling Donald Trump a Nazi. That's perfectly fine. However, just you go ahead and call Kamala Harris a name, and you will be put in Facebook jail. You will be suspended on your Twitter account. Why? Is that equal? Do you think that's equal? There have been so many negative posts on Donald Trump that was fair game in the 4 years that he was the president of the United States that it would fill an entire encyclopedia. And you would just about have to have a call to assassinate him to get suspended. In other words, Twitter and Facebook may just come to their senses if you say everyone should rush the White House and haul him out into the front yard and behead him. Then they might say, well, okay, you've gone too far. Although Kathy Griffin put up a picture of herself holding a severed head of Donald Trump, and no one thought twice of that until the outcry became so heavy they had to do something. So why is this, you ask? Why should social media take a side one way or the other? Why would a platform that says we engage in open and free speech, and basically all we're really trying to do is to make sure that nothing is put on here that could be considered a call to violence? In other words, it's perfectly fine, and I understand, if you take down somebody's post who says, storm the Bastille, come with guns. Okay, that's insane. Of course that needs to be taken down. Of course you have to worry. If someone threatens someone, I'm coming to your house. I know where you live, and I'm coming to your house, and I'm going to do harm to you. Okay, well, then you should take that down, and you should suspend that person. That's a threat. That's an absolute 100% threat, and you should, in fact, lose your privileges. However, debate, even intense debate that may get a little bit personal between adults, why are you Big Brother? I don't understand that. I just don't get it. It's very bizarre, folks, and it's getting worse. Each and every day we hear another story, and it just seems to be getting worse and worse. And then they go on to, face the Senate, and they say, oh, no. We're not trying to do any of that. All we're trying to do is run a fair and equitable site where everyone feels comfortable and everyone feels safe. That is a lie. That is a bold-faced lie. Simple as that, folks. I mean, they can go up there and they can lie to our politicians all they want. But you know the truth. You know the truth. And the truth is, they are very one-sided, and they're one-sided on purpose. Now, Mark Zuckerberg was called onto the carpet for being too much on the conservative side during the election between Trump and Hillary. You've got to be kidding me. You absolutely have to be kidding me. Why don't you go take a look at how much money was donated, and then you tell me whose side's who. This is a joke. It's an absolute joke. Oh, we were being fair and equitable. No, you're not being fair and equitable. You wouldn't even allow the Hunter Biden story, the biggest story of last year. You would not allow anyone to put it on Twitter or Facebook. It was banned. turns out to be true. You banned real news on purpose because you knew it could potentially influence a person's decision on who they would vote for. And that, my friends, is election tampering. But worse than that, they're taking, well, it's not worse than that, but they're taking away your rights for just the simplest thing. I'm joined now on the phone by Michael Christensen. He is a business owner from the great state of Florida, and he's going to tell us our story on how he feels he was unjustly treated on Facebook. Michael, are you there?
Yes, sir. How you doing, Marcus?
I'm doing good. So explain to our listeners the incident that occurred with you and Facebook recently.
Okay, and I'm going to take responsibility here also. You know, it's one of those dumb things where you get into a fight with somebody, a political fight. You know, he's a Biden guy, I'm a Trump guy, so we're arguing back and forth. He's calling Trump and the orange man, the bad orange man. He was the worst thing that ever happened to America. You know, and then we got into me retaliating and calling Biden the pedophile because of all the pictures of him touching young girls on the internet, which you can readily see, him inappropriately touching women and young girls. He comes back and calls me. He says, it takes a pedophile to know a pedophile. He's typing this now. It takes a pedophile to know a pedophile, and worst off, you're a white pedophile. So I come back and I call him a scumbag. And he must have reported me, or the Facebook algorithm got it. And within 5 seconds, I got flagged and said I breached community standards or violated community standards. And I was given a 30-day ban on Facebook for calling somebody a scumbag. I reported his comment, and it came back an hour later. We investigated your complaint and found that the comment did not violate Facebook standards, and I was floored. I was absolutely floored.
Okay, well, hang on 1 second while I analyze this a little bit for our listeners. So here's the deal. You're in the middle of a conversation, a heated political conversation. Now, granted, he's calling Trump all kinds of names. Maybe they're not rising to the level of you calling Joe Biden a pedophile, but that is your opinion. And Joe Biden is a public figure, and it's not the first time he's been called that. He then insinuates that you are. And worse than that, he says you're a white supremacist, or you're white, and that's worse than being a pedophile. So we already know this, Michael. You weren't banned for calling anyone a pedophile because he did it too. So if that was the case, you both would be banned, and that would be, I'm sure, understandable to you. And you would say, okay, we both said the same word. We both got the equal treatment. You did not get banned for that, or he would have too. You got banned for retaliating and calling him a scumbag after he insinuated you're a white supremacist and a felon. So that word, which 14-year-olds regularly use in school, got you banned from Facebook, but his insinuation that you're a white supremacist, and by the way, you're a private citizen, you're a business owner. It's not like you're a public figure. You know, you can get away with saying a lot of things about public figures, and it's not slander. But that could potentially rise to the level of slander if someone that uses your Facebook to contact your business reads what that man says, but that is not a violation.
Yes, sir.
That's outrageous.
I was floored. I could not believe it.
And the reason, and I can promise you this is the reason. The reason is because you were supporting the right-wing agenda on this. Now, I'm not going to say what you said is right or wrong. I'm not going to say that calling anybody that's not convicted something that they haven't been convicted of is right. However, he called you one. So the bottom line of the situation is two wrongs don't make a right, but you weren't suspended for that. Or quite obviously, his speech would have also violated that exact same policy, correct?
Exactly. That's why I was floored when it came back and said he did not violate Facebook's community standards. Now, mind you, Marcus, you can find videos on Facebook. You know the videos they play of those guys doing the pranks?
Certainly.
You have guys running around dressed up as Islam guys throwing bags into laundromats and barbershops, making people think they're bombs, and everybody runs out. That's okay. That's perfectly okay for Facebook to put on there because they're making money off those videos.
You see, Michael, my point is this. If two adults are engaging in a conversation, even if it gets somewhat heated, until it gets to the point where something is, in my opinion, crossing a line. In other words, if he calls you a name and you call him a name and he calls you a name and you call him ignorant and he calls you this and you call him a scumbag and he says you're worse than Hitler, all of that is fair game until he says, I'm coming to where you are and doing something to you or yours or vice versa. At that point, then that's a call to action. That's a call for violence, and that's when Facebook should step in and say, no, 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 no. Until then, it's a conversation between two people. At some point, if it gets somewhat heated and nasty, how does Facebook take any action against that? So you call them a name. Guess what? The kids get called out on the playground constantly. And the bottom line of the situation is I doubt very greatly Facebook or even probably the guy you said it to was very offended by it. It's just that, once again, were you going to run and call Facebook on this guy?
No, no,
no.
I think an algorithm got me, not an actual person at Facebook, because they can't monitor billions of conversations every year. They have some type of a bot or something monitoring keywords, and when it hits a keyword, it doesn't care what the context was, it'll ban you.
Well, one of two things happened: either it hit that, or more likely, he reported you. More likely, he said,
it was very quick.
Just...
It was within seconds, like 5 or 10 seconds.
Then explain to me that. Well, then believe that an algorithm has the word scumbag built into it. I can't believe that. So I have to assume that it had to have the other words built into it. It had to have something to do with Trump or Biden or whatever. Perhaps they monitor everything that's said about that, or maybe the pedophile thing. I don't know. You know, we're in a very sensitive time here with that. But if that's the case, then both people should have been suspended equally, and both people were not suspended equally. If you get into a fight, then both people obviously used basically the same language, then both people should be held accountable in the same manner. This is about the 100th story I've heard, Michael, of this type of thing happening. But further from that, the name you called him, regardless to how much it could be politically incorrect or it could be, you know, whatever you want to call it, holds no weight as far as it being in any way actionable. In other words, if you said, oh, you're a complete scumbag, well, and you own a laundromat, well, no one is going to say, oh, well, then I'm not going to his laundromat. However, that's not what was said. It was implied you were what you called Biden, which was a pedophile, and that means whatever business you hold, if someone is on your site looking around at you to possibly use your business, this is a very serious allegation. I mean, this is something that could potentially cost you business. It could be slander.
Yes.
So I would think that's more actionable than just calling somebody a scumbag.
And I didn't even tell you, 3 weeks before, a month ago, because I've been off Facebook for a month, I got a 3-day ban for sharing a meme of a picture of President Biden, and it says, here's what a cheap dime store imitation president looks like from Wish.com, a Chinese import. I shared that meme, and I got a 3-day ban, and it was already on Facebook, and I got banned. It was already there. I just shared it. You've heard of that before, haven't you? You share a meme, and you get in trouble for it.
I've actually heard that exact thing, that they shared somebody else's meme and got banned for it. Now, I got to tell you that apparently you can't say anything bad about China. Now, this is not just on Facebook. I mean, take a look at what's happening in Georgia. People of Major League Baseball is pulling out of the All-Star game in Georgia, but they're sure as hell continuing their relationship with China. They're sure as hell going to put their money there, right? The NBA, they're sure as hell going to do their deals with China, but God forbid you talk something bad about China. Apparently China the word China in a negative term and George Soros is the only two things that you cannot talk about. Donald Trump, no problem. Say whatever you want about him. Say whatever you want about him. You know, here's an interesting thing. You want to talk about that? I had a man who used to argue with me on my own private site, share a picture of Donald Trump with his daughter on his lap, claiming this is proof positive that Donald Trump is a pedophile. But here he is doing the same thing Joe Biden did, knowing full well that the child on his lap was actually his daughter. He wasn't banned. He wasn't put in Facebook jail for willfully misleading people into thinking that that person, that girl on and his lap was just some strange kid, when in fact it was his daughter. See, this is a thing that happens all the time on the left. Misinform, 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 and perhaps it will stick. So what you fell victim to, very simply, is what everyone is falling victim to, and that is you're on the wrong side. Had he called you the scumbag first, I guarantee you there would be no algorithm. Even if the algorithm picked him up, it would have been your retaliation to him that would have got you banned, and they would have said, well, he didn't really approach that level. He just called you a stupid name. That's not enough to get banned. This is what happens. This is what happens on social media, and unfortunately, it's happening at a much more alarming rate. So, Michael, thank you very much for telling the story. I'm sure there are going to be a million more stories, and we're going to discuss that a little deeper. Look, folks, you cannot deny. You can no longer deny. Well, Twitter has banned the President of the United States. Donald Trump was banned from Twitter. But the leaders of all of these other nations that chant death to the United States, they're not banned. Antifa members weren't banned. ISIS members weren't banned. Everybody's free to share their political opinion, as long as it's not a right-wing political opinion. Now, I really don't care. I think Facebook, within reason, has a right. Don't tell me they're a private business either. I don't want to hear it. Because you're the same people that says, oh, anybody can, it's a private business, they can do what they want. Then how come you got all your panties all in a bunch when a bakery said they wouldn't bake a cake for a gay wedding? Isn't he a private business? Doesn't he get to do what he wants? How about if a private business puts a sign on their door that says no Mexicans? Is that okay? So you're barking out your ass with that nonsense. You have to hold everyone to the same standard. You can say, if you don't have a tie, you don't get into this restaurant, but you can't let four people in that don't have ties and then leave me standing at the door saying, where's your tie, loser? Doesn't work that way. What we need to do is start holding Facebook and Twitter accountable for these things. Now, our government's saying we're trying to do that. No, you're not trying to do that. You bring them up in front of these panels, and they ask them a bunch of cockamamie questions, and you got Jack Dorsey looking like he just woke up after a hard night of boozing it or smoking, going, oh, man, we're doing the best we can, I think. I wasn't aware that my whole company was targeting one political party, but I guess I'll look into it. And Mark Zuckerberg, like a little rat in a cage, saying, well, we think our platform is fair and equitable. We're doing the very best we can. You're just about in lines. And nobody's challenging you on it. Nobody's telling you you're full of crap. But you're not doing that. You're not doing that at all. Nobody's asking you, why did you purposely suppress the Hunter Biden story when everyone knew it was real? Because it could have hurt Joe Biden's chances. That's why. You don't have that power. If you do, then we got to take away some of your protections, don't we? Because then you're saying, oh, well, you know, if we can do whatever we want, well, then you can unduly influence an election if you can do whatever you want. If you can silence conservative voices and allow liberal voices to spout lies and nonsense and propaganda, then you're unduly affecting an election. your suppression or your lack of editing can, in fact, influence an election. And you should not be, or no platform should be that powerful. None. Anyway, we'll take one more caller, and then we're going to get on to another subject. Caller, are you there? No caller. It's amazing. They'll wait, and then when I take their call, they're like, no, I've changed my mind. Anyway, let's get on to another subject, because this one also is bothering me, and that subject is our school system. Now, when this pandemic first hit, it was very obvious that you're going to have to close the schools. No one knew anything about this virus. No one knew how deadly it was going to be, how long it was going to last, what it was going to take to defeat it. You couldn't possibly ask schools to be open or parents to send their children. So I had no problem with that. I didn't even have any problem when it became a couple of months later, you know, and you're saying, well, you know, we'll do a little Zoom learning because we're still a little bit up in the air about how to handle this. Understandable. But then there came a time when it was quite obvious to most people that it was time. Walmart workers could go back to work. If you worked in a liquor store, you could go back to work. Everybody could go back to work, it seemed, except if you owned a private business or you were a school teacher. If you were a school teacher, it was just far, far, far too dangerous. And now we're going on, what, a year and a month? A little bit over a year. And there are some schools that have been opened in some states with good results. But in some states, we're still staring down the barrel of Zoom learning, and they're saying, well, maybe this is the new normal. Maybe this is a better way to go. And teachers are making outrageous demands that have nothing to do with COVID at all, because they know this is their opportunity and they have leverage. So they're going to sit there and they're going to make their demands and say, we won't go back to work unless X, Y, and Z is done. Well, I have a news flash for you. If you truly believe that Zoom learning, learning online, is just as effective as in-school learning, then we can cut the teachers by half, maybe by two-thirds. I mean, a teacher says, well, my classroom is overcrowded at 30 or 40. Okay. Well, your Zoom class shouldn't be. I teach 10,000 people how to say ABC. Just put me up online, and if there's 10,000 people who want to learn their ABCs, or they want to learn, or they want to read a book, or they want to do whatever, I can instruct that. You ever hear of the phrase educational television? You know, you watch a TV show like Sesame Street, or maybe you watch an Animal Planet, or you watch something and you learn. They don't say, well, we can only have 30, 40 people. No, they don't do that. You see, the individual child learns differently. Maybe if you're 16, 17 years old. Then maybe you've had your social interaction. Maybe you understand how to socially get along with people who may not agree with you and how to interact in social sessions. And you've met some of the influential people in your life. But if you're just starting school and you're 9, 10, 11 years old, these are your formative years. And your formative years should not be spent in front of the screen of a laptop. This is where you should be meeting your best friends, your future girlfriends. You should be playing your sports and possibly getting your scholarships for college in the future, due to what you've learned in your formative years. This is where you should be meeting people who are going to play a major influence in your life and decide what career direction you might take, not the screen of a goddamn laptop. And our parents are like, this is just wonderful. No, it's not wonderful. It's not wonderful at all. You're robbing your child of his youth. You understand? Where'd you meet your significant other? Well, maybe it wasn't in school, but where'd you meet your first boyfriend? Where'd you meet your first girlfriend? Where did you learn something incredible because a teacher took time after class to show you something? Or you picked something up from a kid on a playground and said, oh, well, you know, he taught me how to kick a soccer ball the right way. He taught me how to throw a hook shot or a curveball. Where'd you meet your best friends who you still have to this day? Was it in front of a laptop? There is zero evidence that kids going back to school caused any sort of a great rise in COVID. And if there was, pray tell me why it's okay for teachers to teach the illegal alien children who have come over here in person. You heard me right. They're teaching them in person in San Diego. No problem. Teachers, you want to volunteer to teach some children from foreign countries? Sure. We'll be there. How about some American children who haven't seen a teacher in 8 months? No, no, no. No, no, no. I'm not doing that. Think about that for a minute. I want you to think about that for a minute. Does that make sense to you? Does that make any sense to you? Now, I know there's a lot of parents who maybe you're lucky and one of the parents doesn't work. Maybe the husband or the wife is the bread earner and you're the homemaker and you can stay home with your kid and supervise what he does. Not everyone can do that. Not everyone can do that. So some people have no choice but to allow their child to log on by himself and think, I don't feel like it. I think I'll just log out earlier. I'll pay no attention. I'll turn it on and then I'll just, you know, play a video game in the background. They're learning nothing. Oh, I'm sure there are kids that are learning, very studious children who are paying close attention, but there's always going to be those children who aren't that way. And the only way they learn is by the teacher observing them and saying, you're not listening. You need to listen. You need to put down your book. I see you. I see you with your earphones in, your earbuds in. I know you're not listening to me. And maybe try a little harder with a certain kid because he needs that extra help. Or maybe that kid meets another kid, whether it happens to be a girl or a boy, whoever, who influences them. And they say, oh, well, you know, he's my friend and he studies hard. Maybe I should too. Maybe I should try to do better. You see, children are very easily influenced at that age. And they need some social interaction. You cannot rob an entire generation of their social interaction and expect to raise a generation of people who know what the hell they're doing. You ever hear about book smart and life stupid? We already have a generation of those. I could point you out to college kids who'll say, you know, the thesis of the journey of how we're doing this in social settings and in a manner in which we're, yeah. You have all the fancy words and they mean nothing because you don't even know basics. You're book smart and your life stupid. You have zero social skills. You have zero interaction with other people. That's why we have these people who say, I'm offended by everything because no one ever talked to me that way. I don't know how to react. And that's why you'll see college students say with so much confidence, what is the difference? I don't understand how people can be anti-abortion, but they can take a look at what happened in the schools where the children were shot and say we shouldn't ban guns. Why is that child's life any different than the aborted child? I'll tell you why, Einstein. Because an abortion is strictly designed to kill a infant, to end a life. A gun is not. A gun is designed to dissuade people from doing something. A gun is designed for a police officer who can defend someone. Every gunshot will kill a child. Every time a gun is fired, an innocent person isn't killed. Sometimes a very non-innocent person is killed. Sometimes it saves many, 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 many lives. Please point me out an abortion that saves a life. Moron. But you'll sit there and make that comparison. And I'm college educated. And I see no difference. That's because you're a moron and you have no life experience. Zero. Well, that's what's going to be raised now. People are just told, yep, yep, everything you learned is right. No, no one's going to challenge you ever. You know, I know a guy personally who took 3 years in college learning a trade, and he busted his butt. And he came out of there thinking he knew everything there was to know about his what he thought was going to be his chosen profession. And he got an apprenticeship. And in 2 weeks, they let him go and said, you know absolutely a zero. After 3 years of hard study where he graduated with very good grades and was told, you know everything. He was told by people in the business, you just don't know enough to be here. Well, that's like our children. Oh, they're going to know the book smart. They're going to know the right answer. But they're not going to understand. They don't have any life experience. They're not going to understand that other people may feel differently about certain issues. They're not going to know how to interact with people who challenge them. They're not going to know how to debate. They're not going to know how to free exchange ideas because they don't have to. All they have to do is sit in front of a computer. I remember when parents were saying, I don't want my children sitting in front of a TV set all day. I don't want my children sitting in front of a video game all day. Now it's perfectly fine to sit in front of a computer because some teacher in yoga pants on her way to Walmart to buy yogurt is saying, now turn to page 3 and read that. Like nobody, I could do, anybody could do that. Anybody could do that. But boy, let it be the immigrant children. And oh, no, we'll go there in person. They need special attention. They need individual learning. You've all lost your minds. Now, I understand there's a risk. I understand there's some risk involved. Guess what? There's risk involved when people have to go into Walmart. You go. And what about the employees? You know, every time a teacher says it's too unsafe for me to go back to school, I keep thinking, do you go to Walmart? Do you think it's too unsafe for those people to cash you out, to stock your shelves, to help you get things that you can't find? Or is it okay if they get sick and die because they're just the, you know, peons? How dare you? You know, I used to look up to teachers. And to be perfectly honest, when I graduated, there was good reason to look up to teachers. I remember my English teacher telling me, read any book you want. When I told her I've already read the book that we're doing a book report on 2 years ago, do you really want me to read it again? It would seem to me to be meaningless. No, go pick any book you want out in the library, and I will critique that for you. Because she understood that maybe I had a little higher learning capacity than the group I was in. So she said, okay, maybe there's a kid who said, well, this is too high, a little bit too high for me. Maybe she'd let him read a different book. You see, that's the thing. You can individually adjust for your class. You know the kid that's too shy to get up and give the answers out loud, but could certainly do it if you just let him sit down and write it on a piece of paper. I remember that being a case in one of my classes. One of the smartest kids in our classes, if you called on him, he got so nervous having to stand up and give an answer, he'd give a wrong answer. But if you let him write it down on a piece of paper, he'd ace it. Teacher got to know that very quickly and said, look, there's no point in stressing him out. He's not a kid who likes to talk out loud in front of a group. Child is not a robot. Each child's an individual, and they have to be treated like an individual, and the teacher has to know their personalities. She has to know their strong points and their weak points. She has to be able to interact with that child and say, this is the way I need to treat this child for him to learn. Why do you think we have baseball coaches who individually say, well, we got to treat this person this way and this person this way because they're not the same, even though they're both up there to get a base hit? I'm the batting coach, and they're both up there to get a base hit, but I can't treat these guys the same way. They're not the same person. But in front of that computer, they're all the same person. They're just a name out in cyberspace. That teacher has no idea of your personality. That teacher has no idea of your shortcomings and your strengths. And when the bell rings and school is over, you don't get to walk home with your friends or go onto the bus with your friends and raise a little hell and then talk. No, no. You get to log off the computer. and wish you had some people to talk to that wasn't mom or dad, right? This is a joke. You think this is fair to your kids? Ask yourself if you'd have liked it. As much as I hated school, and trust me, even though I was very, very good in school, I hated it, but I hated it for a different reason. I hated it because all of my classes, I could go on a Monday, skip school Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and ace the test on Friday. Because I already knew most of this stuff. I didn't need somebody reciting it to me. I already know. But what I missed, and what ultimately made me go back on a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I missed my friends. I missed the social interaction. And I said, is it worth it to just sit home and watch a television when I could be talking to my friends, going out and playing softball, hanging out during lunch, meeting people? And the answer was, no, it's not. I'd rather just go ahead and, you know, get on that bus in the morning, even though some of this stuff to me is meaningless and still is. Now, if you're going to tell me we're going to cut out activity, we're going to cut out, you know, how to basket weave, we're going to cut out adventures in scuba diving, fine. I understand you may not have time for that. But reading, writing, and arithmetic, you should be able to teach in schools. Classes were 45-minute periods. So if you just let them do the basics and go home, no electives, screw the electives, just give them the basics and then let them go home. What would it be, 3-4 hours a day? You can't make a kid safe for 3 or 4 hours a day, but he can walk around Walmart for 3 or 4 hours a day, right? Well, first we're going to Walmart, and then we're going to Target, and then we're going to the grocery store. Then we're going to stop by and Burger King and sit in there and have a lunch. Oh, I see. Well, 5 hours went by. Well, then they could be in school for 4. They've just ran into the same amount of people. Educators are telling me, some of the good ones that we have left are telling me, this ain't working for our children. The depression rate amongst young children are very high. They're not socially interacting. They're not happy. Oh, they may look happy, but they're not happy. And this is going to affect them in later life. When at some point in time, I hope this COVID-19 thing is over, they're going to go back to school and they're going to be lost. How am I supposed to interact with these people? What am I supposed to do? I don't know. I run into college kids all the time that have this problem because they've never been confronted in their life, and they did have one-on-one learning. They'll flip off at, oh, this is why you're wrong about this and blah, 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 blah. Then you hit them with about 4 retaliatory questions and their eyes just go like pinballs, blah, 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 blah. I don't know the answer to that. No, you don't. Because you've never interacted with anybody else who has a difference of opinion and never had to debate them and logically think that maybe some of my opinions are not correct. Maybe I've been taught things that are not exactly correct. Maybe my opinion has been influenced by somebody else's ideology. You see, that's the way you can kind of fend that off in school. You talk to your friends about something. Well, you know, I learned this, and your friend, I don't think that's really right. And you listen to your friends, maybe you're right. You know, I didn't think about it that way. You don't get any of that through a computer. And parents will be sitting there telling me, well, after the classes, I do allow my child to see 1 or 2 of their friends. Oh, and where did they meet their friends? Oh, in school several years ago. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, where's the young kids meeting their friends? Or you don't care? You don't care that they may not have one for 2-3 years. Do you know how many people I know who have lifelong friends that they met in junior high school or grade school or high school? A ton of them. And how about these people, this is my last couple of years, and I'm not going to be able to play sports. This is my last couple of years to maybe try to get a scholarship. I'm not going to get one. because I couldn't play any sports. How about all the dances that you missed, all the after-school activities that you missed, all the fun that you missed? Are you going to make up for that by taking them to Burger King and buying them a Whopper? No, you're not. Be a parent for once in your life. Stop being a scared rabbit. Your kid needs social interaction. He's not going to get sick. Because if that was the truth, then everyone who opened up the schools in some of these other states, they'd all be dropped dead by now, right? How come they're not? Have you ever stopped to ask yourself, how come everyone who works in Walmart is not dead? How come every police officer is not dead? How come every doctor and nurse is not dead? Every firefighter not dead? How come? How come they're all not dropping like flies? Is it impossible that if we open up schools, a teacher or a child might get COVID? No, it's not impossible. It's not impossible at all. But then again, it's not impossible that they caught pneumonia. It's not impossible that they caught some other disease. It's not impossible that there was some asbestos in the school and they're going to catch a disease later in life. Anything. It's not impossible that the bus is going to have an accident on the way home and kill everybody. Do you want me to guarantee 100% safety every single day? Because if you do, the children will never go back to school and you will never leave your house because it is impossible. No one can do that. You have to assess risk versus reward. And right now the reward is the children need social interaction. They need to go back to their normal lives and not fearful and oppressed. Or you're going to have some trouble. Oh, it may not happen in 6 months, but in a few years' time, you're going to have trouble. And then we have these parents who say, well, at least my child's not getting bullied. Can't be bullied if they're home. Well, yeah, I've got news for you. Nobody's against bullying more than me. But it is a part sometimes of a child's development when they say, I had a person be mean to me and I had to deal with it. Because guess what? Coworkers are going to be mean to you. Bosses are going to be mean to you. Other people in real life are going to be mean to you. And at some point in your life, you're going to have to learn how to deal with that. And the answer isn't always, let me go cry to somebody who has a position of power. Sometimes you have to handle it yourself. Learning how to be an adult at some point in your life. That's what we're losing now. You heard my guest on here. Somebody on this radio show calls me up and says, hey, Marcus, you're a scumbag. So what? And I care why. I'm not going to say, oh, let me run to somebody and see if they can trace that call and make them apologize or cut their privileges off. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? Is that what you want to raise? A whole generation of those people? A whole generation of people who are so sensitive, they're upset if a cartoon skunk kisses a cartoon cat. Apparently it is. Apparently that's what you want. Because the government has you so fearful of this virus that you can't even think straight anymore. You can't even think straight. All you can think of is, my child is in terrible danger. And as a parent, you're saying, I want to keep my child out of danger. I get that. But did you keep your child out of danger all those other years when the school bus could have crashed at any given time? When the ceiling could have fell in? When they said, oh, I know it's snowing, but it's okay. The school is still open. Well, what happens if, a car slid into a bus, you went off a cliff or something, huh? Could those things possibly, potentially happen? You bet. You're worried maybe a gunner will come into the school and gun down everybody. How often does that happen, really? Well, that's about the same amount as COVID is going to happen in your school. You could take many safety precautions. I'm not suggesting just go back to the normal way of school. How come in a restaurant they can put up a little plexiglass thing in front of your booth, but you can't put up one in front of a desk? How come you can't do that? How come a teacher can't be behind his desk in a little plexiglass thing talking to children, even if he has to use a microphone? But at least he can address them one-on-one and understand who they are and get to know their personalities and how he may have to bend a little to teach this kid as opposed to this kid. I've taught people guitar. for years. They all learn differently. If I just go online, I could teach a million people who are watching me how to play guitar. But guess what? Out of those million people, maybe a handful of them will say, hey, I learned really well. And a much larger percentage is going to be like, well, I had a whole bunch of weird questions, and I couldn't do what he said there, and I wasn't able to really quite grasp this. If I had him one-on-one and he said, I have a problem with this, I could show them. Well, then do it this way, or maybe this is better for you. You're not going to have that opportunity over the Internet. See, it's good for the teacher. They can stay home in their sweatpants, right? They don't have to worry about it. Don't tell me that's not a factor. And then we hear these outrageous things like, well, we don't want the parents overlooking what we're doing. Why? You're in their home now. They can overlook exactly. They don't want that boy. Oh, we don't need the parents looking over our shoulder. Why? Because you're going to tell them you're all have white privilege and you should all be ashamed that you're white and the country is horrible and racist and evil and wrong. Is that what you want to teach them in social studies? But you can't hide behind that classroom now, can you? We got a real problem with this, folks, because the longer this occurs, the more people get complacent with it, and they don't realize the damage they're doing to their children. It's vast. It's vast. Again, there are ways to do this safely. I'm not against taking the temperatures of every child that comes in and every teacher. I'm not against it. If the teachers want to wear masks, I'm not against it. If they want to put the plexiglass little things in front of the children desks, I'm not against it. And here's something else you've got to understand. Some children rely upon school for their lunches. Some even for their breakfasts. Because there are some parents in some parts that simply always relied on that because they really couldn't afford it. So, you know, I met somebody I really looked up to, a teacher, a phys ed coach, another student, an older student in a higher grade, someone I really admired and looked up to, and they made an influence on me and a difference in my life. How many people? A lot. Well, you're not doing it now. You're not doing it now. Many of life's lessons that don't come from a textbook are being ignored, and you don't get it. It doesn't take a very, very intelligent person to read out of a textbook and comprehend. I could argue that I could learn all by myself, even when I was 12 and 13, and I did. I could take home my textbook and read it and comprehend it. Oh, I read chapter 5. I don't need to worry about reading it the rest of the week. I get where we're going. But you know what I couldn't learn? I couldn't learn all the little social interactions. I couldn't learn some of life's lessons, not from that book. I had to do that in person because those things don't come from a book. Those things come from something called living. And sitting in front of a computer in a house because you're too afraid to open your front door is not living. It's existing, and there's a difference. And the same people who are so afraid that if they do X, Y, and Z, they're going to die from COVID, get in their car and go to Walmart. Get in their car and go to the liquor store. And worry about there was somebody in there that didn't have a mask. Well, if you're that worried, stay home. Stay the hell home. Through the computer. That's your God now, right? The computer is all. Nothing we need or can learn. We can't from a computer. Well, I got news for you. If you really think that's true, you are in for a shock, my friends. Because the lessons of life that's going to get you through every single day isn't going to come from a book, and it's not going to come from a computer either. It's going to come from everyday living and the people you meet and the situations you encounter and the way you handle them and the way the other people handle them. That's where it's going to come from. You're looking at a guy when I was 9 years old, if you told me to stand up in front of a class and recite a poem, I would have cried. I was so scared of public speaking. Guess who got over it? Guess who learned from social interaction? Guess who learned how to be confident? Guess who learned all of those things? And I didn't learn it from a computer, and I didn't learn it from a book. So congratulations to all the parents who are going to rob their children of this because they think they're being great parents. You're not. You're being lousy parents. You're being overprotective, nonsensical, clingy vine parents who think as long as your kid knows what 2 + 2 is, the world is going to be their oyster. Wrong. Wrong. Can you learn confidence from a book? I don't think so. Can you learn how to socially interact with people from a book? I don't think so. Or a computer? Facts aren't everything, folks. Sometimes you have to learn from just life. And the only way to learn from just life is to have one. And staying in your living room, staring at a computer screen, that's not life. Again, if you're older and you've had 10 years of schooling and you're just learning some extra stuff online, yeah, that could work. You've already got your social interaction. You've already become the person you're going to be, but not children. Children are looking for who they are. Children are looking to find out their identity. Children are looking to overcome their issues and their shortcomings or whatever, and they're not going to learn it from a computer. If I want to learn another language now, yeah, I can log on the computer. I can probably do it because I am who I am now. If I was 9 years old, I still wouldn't be able to. Don't you understand that we're different? Each person is different. I don't know what to say. I honestly don't. I want to thank Michael Christensen for joining us. His story is very, very, very similar to what a lot of you people are experiencing. They can yell at you, but boy, you better not yell back at them. Don't yell back at your masters. Because if you do, if you stand up for yourself, you'll be put in Facebook jail. Your Twitter account will be suspended. They can yell at you. You can't yell. Way street. Social media is the left-wing arm of a propaganda machine. And right now, parents are their own worst enemies by sitting here trying to claim that they're being great parents because they don't want their child to just get sick when there's no evidence they're going to get sick. And you're robbing them of their youth. I suggest everybody take a really, really, really hard look in the mirror and try to overcome this fear for a moment and realize what's happening right in front of your eyes. Because what you do today is going to affect who your child is tomorrow. And how you handle your social media accounts and what you do is going to affect whether they keep doing it or they're forced to change their policies. Regardless of what anyone says, power to change all of these things. If you just stand up and be counted, and more importantly, just use some common sense. That's all we ask, folks. Just use a little common sense.